There we go. Okay, good morning, everyone. Our weekly breakfast is sponsored by Bagel Munch, Le'ilui Nishmas Shimon Ben Zev, and Fega Bas Chaim. I heard you guys had an amazing, amazing Magid Shir last week. Pretty much should update my resume. It's okay. Doesn't have that much on it since the last time I did my resume. So here we go. So we are, I think we left off, you said five lines from the bottom. Mm-hmm. Of Gimel Amud Beis. So, the Gemara was in the middle of discussing something called Tosefes Shviyos. Tosefes Shviyos means we know that we're going to, as we spoke about in this week's Parsha, we're going to allow the land to remain unworked and hefker for the period of the seventh year of Shemitah. In anticipation of that, so there are things that one does to the ground that even though Shemitah has not yet started, clearly influence and impact the land in a manner that will have its full and complete expression on Shemitah itself. And so therefore we have the concept of Tosefes Shviyos. Tosefes Shviyos is to add on a little to Shemitah so that we don't end up really working the land during Shemitah by sort of starting earlier. There's a big discussion in Hilchah Shabbos. If you set into motion a malacha before Shabbos that then occurs on its own over the course of Shabbos, when you're not actually doing any maisa on Shabbos, you're just doing it before Shabbos, and the Shulchan Aruch, the Gemaras talk about water wheels and those kinds of things, and that obviously has a lot of implications once automation came, and once all sorts of things could happen on its own, setting timers, those kinds of things. So this is the issue. It's the same issue, really. We have a zone of time that's Mekudosh, and we have a period of time beforehand. So the Gemara discussed before all sorts of different possibilities, Machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, whether or not Tosefes Shviyos begins all the way back to Shavuos, to Pesach. I think in the end it depends on what kind of field it is, if it's a field of trees, if it's a field of vegetables, if it's a field of dreams, whatever it is, we add on to the Shemitah. And then the Gemara had a discussion that Rabban Gamliel came along with his Beis Din, and Rabban Gamliel got rid of this extra Isser. It was too hard for people. And the Gemara challenged that. Who are you to start uprooting things that were enacted by a Beis Din before you? Very important to understand. I think you would have discussed it. He told me he was going to discuss it. The halachic process is a serious process. It's not just, to quote someone who distorted the halachic process, when there's a rabbinical will, there's a rabbinical way. That anytime we want to accomplish something, we could just go ahead and trigger halachic mechanisms to accomplish things. There is an integrity to how the system works. And built into the system is the capacity for halacha to evolve around modern realities, but to evolve in such a way that the core principles and operative core obligations obviously endure for all time, but some of the manners in which those obligations are manifest sometime can be recontextualized depending on the generation and what's going on. A great example of that is the prohibition to allow a dead body to remain overnight, right? Which is something that we very often today are more makel on. We allow that to go on so people can come from far away and for all sorts of kavod ames. How are we allowed to do that? So Rav Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva. This prohibition presumed that the decomposition of the body begins right away. The prohibition was really on decomposing the body, on undermining the dignity of the mace. Now that we have refrigeration and bodies can be preserved, which is not something that they used to have, so therefore that creates a little bit more flexibility with those types of situations. And the same is true about a number of different isurim. So the Rabbanan can go around, and there are certain takanas that they can change, and there are certain takanas they cannot change, right? We no longer, Yom Tov Sheni is everyone's favorite takana, right? Yom Tov Sheni, we cannot change the takana of Yom Tov Sheni because Ein Beis Din Yachol La'akor as Divrei Chavero Elo Im Ken Gadol Hemenu B'Chachma B'Minyan. You can't go ahead and just be Oker Yom Tov Sheni, that's a minhag avosin b'yadeinu, unless you're greater B'Chachma B'Minyan. Nevertheless, there are a lot of differences between how we deal with Yom Tov Sheni and how we deal with Yom Tov Rishon, and that's true in general about the halachic system. So the Gemara basically is trying to figure out what did Rabban Gamliel and his Beis Din exactly reverse. Did they reverse something? So they clearly reversed from all the way back, from Pesach and Shavuos, did they reverse those first 30 days in anticipation of the Shemitah from Rosh Chodesh Elul and onward, or did they not? So the Gemara wants to say that that they did reverse all of this, and how could they reverse it if Beis Shammai Beis Hillel were misaking it? So the Gemara suggested that Beis Shammai Beis Hillel embedded into the Takana itself a flexibility that later generations could come along and could go ahead and change this Takana. So, hey Mamru, hey Mamru. Since they established the Takana with that flexibility, a great Bezdin, not some person who wants to do it, but a member of the Bali Masorah, could come along and they can tweak the way in which that's done. To which the Gemara is very surprised. So the Gemara says, the Asnu Bididhu, I think that's where we left off. Mm-hmm. Right, the isnu biditu kol arotze levatel yavo viyavatel. Right, you're telling me that they left space for anybody to be mevatel this din. Vahani hilchasaninhu, vahani hilchasaninhu. You think this was stam a halacha l'moshe misinai? This was stam a tradition. This was a din derabanan. This was part of the oral tradition. Krayin inu. This is actually mefurish in the psukim that you have to go ahead and have Tosefa Shavias added on time to Shavias. What does the Pasuk say? And it's interesting. This Pasuk is actually in the context of Shabbos. The Torah says, Sheshes Yomim Tavod Uve Yom HaShvi'i Tishvos. And then the Torah says, Bacharish Uve Katsir Tishvos. It's in Shemos. From plowing and from harvesting, you have to rest. So the Gemara makes a drasha. B'charish v'katzir tishbos. Rabbi Akiva, Omer Rabbi Akiva says, Ein zarech lomer charish v'katzir shashviyas. So there's a tradition that this last part of the pasuk is actually referring to Shemitah. So he says, we don't need an explicit pasuk to tell us that charish and katzir is prohibited in Shemitah. Shari Kvar Nemar, it already says in the psukim in Vayikra, that what? Sadcha lo sizra v'karmacha lo sizmar. You're not allowed to plant your field. You're not allowed to prune your vineyard. So we already have the prohibitions of working the land. So therefore, Ela Charish. So what is Charish V'Katzir Tishbos coming to teach us? Says Rabbi Akiva, Ela Charish Shal Erev Shviyas Shenichnas L'Shviyas. Right? Charish is coming to tell you there's a plowing beyond the regular Shemitah plowing. What is that? The plowing of Erev Shemitah. V'Katzir Shal Shviyas. And the collection of Shviyas, Sheyata Lemotze Shviyas, that there are certain aspects of the end of Shemitah that we're going to learn that you are also prohibited. So, says the Gemara, so that is an explicit biblical source for a prohibition to involve yourself in issues related to working the land before Rosh Hashanah. That's something that Rabbi Gamliel's Beis Din can reverse. They could reverse the extension of that, but they can't reverse that. So Rabbi Yishmael, in that same source, Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yishmael, they're always arguing with each other. Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Yishmael, Omer, Macharish Rishos, a different drasha from this extra Macharish Vakatzir Tishbos. Macharish Rishos, Akatzir Rishos. Just like Charish, that's prohibited, refers to plowing, and that is something that's within a person's domain to choose to do. Do they want to plow? Do they not want to plow? Also, Katzir, the type of Katsira that's prohibited, in general, and he's talking about Shabbos, is talking about Katsira, that is, if a person wants to harvest, if they don't want to harvest. What's a situation where you have to harvest and you have no choice? Who puts a gun to anybody's head and says, harvest now, right? There's not usually forced harvesting. So says the Gemara, Yatsa Katsir HaOmer, there is forced harvesting. When is there forced harvesting? By the Omer. We're now in Sfiras HaOmer. Sfiras HaOmer began with the cutting of the Omer, which was done the night before they brought the Karban HaOmer. What happens if the night before they bring the Karban HaOmer, it's Shabbos? What do? They have to cut the Omer. So the halacha is, she mitzvah, it's a mitzvah. And that's what this pasuk tells you. That in no circumstances, you're allowed to go ahead and cut the Omer, even if it is Shabbos. So says the Gemara, shehi mitzvah. So that's the machlokas. Ela Omer, Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak. But we're left with our problem. According to Rabbi Akiva, we seem to have an explicit prohibition in the Torah not to work the land on Erev Shemitah. How did Rabbi Gamliel and his Beis Din start playing around with that? Ela Omer, Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak. Ki gmiri hilchasa lemishre yolda. Kroy lemesar zikina. So the Gemara says, that Rav Nachman answers, that when the Torah gave us, when we established this halacha l'moshe mi Sinai, that halacha l'moshe mi Sinai was for the explicit purpose of matiring, of permitting the young trees, like we spoke about before, the Eser Netios that you spoke about in the last daf. And if you have a collection of very young trees in a small area, and it's before Shemitah, you're allowed to water that even right up to Shemitah, because if you don't, it's such a dense area, they will die. You're not required. So therefore, the Torah made an exception. So that's the halacha l'moshe Mesinai. That's the exception. And kroy l'meisar zikina. And the psukim tell you that you're not allowed to go ahead and be and work with the things that are older. Says Rashi, kroy l'meisar zikina. Shloshim yom kodim Rosh Hashanah, but also beisham beisil, but gozrim pesach v'aratzeres. So what the Gemara is basically saying now is that the psukim tell us that there is a period of time, 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, that you're not allowed to do it. Beyond that, there was an extension. That extension was Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel built into the extension that somebody could come later and reverse it, even if they're not as great as Shammai and Hillel. Comes along Rabbi Gamliel, and he does just that. But the actual halacha of the 30 days before, bimkoma omedes, they didn't play with that. Then the Gemara says, parenthetically, the cave into Hilchas Alamishra Yolda, la mimela zekina esira. Says, it doesn't make so much sense because that analysis here. Because if already the Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai is telling us that there is a din, a tradition, that we are permitted to deal with the smaller, younger ones, then that presumes that there's a prohibition to deal with the older, larger ones. So if that's true, so why do you have to start being darshaning this pasuk in such a strange way, taking it out of its Shabbos context and creating these Isurei Doraisa for the first 30 days? It doesn't make sense. Ela Hilchasa, so the Gemara changes gears and says, no. Ela Hilchasa l'Rabbi Yishmael, kroy l'Rabbi Akiva. Says, no, the Halakha L'Moshe Mesinai, that's a tradition that we only have according to Rabbi Yishmael, since he's already used these psukim for something else of the Heter Ketzira for the Omer. But according to Rabbi Akiva, the psukim are explicitly telling us the regular din, and therefore Rabban Gamliel can play with the extension. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Rabban Gamliel beistinu midoraisa batulahu. So it comes along Rabbi Yochanan, and he says, no, Rabban Gamliel and his beistin, they didn't just, play with the actual extension, they played with the original din. How could they do that? My timer. Gomar Shabbos Shabbos. They made a gzeres shava, mishabbos bereishis, from the first Shabbos of the Torah, where Shabbos mentioned in the Torah, and Shabbos bereishis, malahalon hi asura, just like by regular Shabbos, it's also to do malacha on Shabbos, lefanei alachareya mutarin, but before Shabbos and after Shabbos, it is mutar, afkan hi asura, so to by shmita, lefanei alachareya mutarin, it's really mutar, and if it's really mutar, that means the extension of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel was the complete extension. So therefore, they were able to disrupt that extension. Maskif la Ravashi, so ask Ravashi, manda omar hilchasa, asi gzeres shava akra. Hilchasa, you're telling me there's halacha l'moshe Mesinai, and somebody darshan some gzeres shava, nice dvar Torah, it says Shabbos here, it says Shabbos there, that gets rid of a bona fide halacha l'moshe Mesinai, an actual tradition. We have to understand that gzeres shava is an exegetical tool to anchor an oral tradition in the text. Right? It may be derivative of the text on some level, but you don't just make gzeres shavos. Gzeres shavos are also part of the corpus of tradition of interpretation. And so therefore, if you already have a halacha l'moshe Mesinai, that means that when Moshe was on Har Sinai, it's a whole discussion what exactly Moshe heard on Har Sinai, but we assume that Moshe got a Torah Shebaal Peh on Har Sinai as well. That's the Gemara we had in Megillah, right? We darshan that pasuk. So if Moshe got the Torah Shebaal Peh Har Sinai, he got the Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai. That's kind of why it's called the Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai, right? So he got the Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai. So now you're bringing a Gzeres Shava because at the end of davening you zoned in to Rabbi Shmuel Omer and now you're bringing Gzeres Shavas to go against Halacha L'Moshe Mesinai. Uman Damer Akra Asik Gzeres Shava. And you're going to tell me Akra Akra and you tell me that according to the Man Damer there's a Beferish Apostle, these guys dashing the Gzeres Shava and suddenly they're getting rid of Bacharish of a Katzir Tishbos. So Amar Ravashi says Ravashi no. Rav Gamliel Bezino Sabri Lok Rabbi Yishmael. So now we narrow. We say that Rav Gamliel and his Beis Din held only like Rabbi Yishmael. The Amar Ilchus of Gemiri law that said it was an oral tradition. Aye, so what? So it's an oral tradition. You can't just decide to discontinue a halacha l'moshe Mesinai. V'chi gmiri al-chasa, and when the halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai was given, we're missing one very key piece of information. Bezman she-beis ha-migdosh kayam. It was only given in the time that the beis ha-migdosh was kayam. De-nisuch ha-mayim. Told me de-nisuch ha-mayim, like nisuch ha-mayim. V'abezman she-ein beis ha-migdosh kayam. But when the beis ha-migdosh is not around, lo, this halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai did not apply. If that's true, says Rashi, if that's true, then they had the right to go ahead. Rashi says, "Ki gmiri hilchus bezman shebeis hamikdash kayim, v'chisharu Rabbi Gamliel beis dino bezman she'ein beis hamikdash kayim." So when were they matir this din? They were matir it bezman she'ein beis hamikdash kayim. So what basically happens? So we have a machlokas in what the bottom line is with the Erev Shvius, whether or not Erev Shvius is really been changed by Rabbi Gamliel and is based in only from 30 days back to Pesach or Atzeres, because the first 30 days is really Min HaTorah, or it's part of Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai that is a solid tradition, or we have the possibility that no, they really played with it all the way up to Rosh Hashanah itself, because it was Bizman She'ein Beis HaMikdash Kayam, when the Beis HaMikdash is rebuilt, will have that din, that halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai, that it'll go all the way back 30 days, and whether or not it goes all the way back to Pesach and Shavuos, that we'll have to deal with after Tchiyas HaMeisim, when Rabbi Gamliel and Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel will meet each other and have to work this out, right? And we'll see what happens. That'll be fun. So, okay, that's the end. Now, back to our Mishnah. If you remember, our Mishnah was discussing things that can and cannot be done, a cholamoy. Now, one of the things that guides that discussion is that we allow certain things to be done on Chol HaMoed that have a hefsed gadol, but only if they don't involve tircha. So, in the times of the Mishnah, going to work meant farming. So, all of the dinim of what's considered tircha and not tircha, all those examples are based in the halachos of farming. And what was the main thing they worried about with farming? What was the main thing you always had to worry about? Water. You needed water. You needed irrigation. That's still like that today, right? So the Mishnah said, right, that Mashkin beis hashlochim b'moed, you're allowed to water an irrigated field on the moed of a shvius, b'emimayin sh'yotza b'tchivim v'shalayotza b'tchila, but you're not allowed to water from mei gishamim or mei kilon. You're not allowed to water from collected rainwater in a pit, and you're not allowed to irrigate from a cistern. So says the Gemara the following, Bishlama Mekilon, I understand why you're not allowed to water from a cistern, because as we all know, Ika Tircha Yesera. It takes a lot of Tircha to get the water out of the cistern. It's like flushing the toilet over here, right? Can't just give it a shtickle flush, it's Tircha Yesera. You have to hold it, you have to have Kavana, you have to think about it, you have to be Shomer, you have to see what's going to be, right? Tircha Yisera, right? You wanna go ahead and
not treating it the right way.
Not treating. I don't have the magic touch.
That's it.
In the words of Kilo Mouse, right? So what happens? So so Tircha Yisera. What the truth is, to get water out of a cistern, as we know, since we do it often, you have to lower a pail all the way down the cistern to pull it all the way up. It's not a simple thing to do. That's Tircha Yisera. You shouldn't be doing that on Chol HaMoed. You should be on a roller coaster on Chol HaMoed. So, right? So that's considered Tircha Yisera. Ela Mei Gishamim, but Mei Gishamim, that's not a Tircha. That's not all the way down in the bottom of the well, right? Mei Gishamim is a shallower pool that the water, it just rained, and you're taking it right out of the pit. So my Tircha Yikla, so what's the problem? Why can't you water from Mei Gishamim, right? Assuming it's a Hefsed Meruba, right? Amar Rabbi Loi, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Gezera Mei Gishamim Atu Mei Kilon. So we're going to have two opinions of why you can't use Mei Gishamim. One is, we make a Gezera. If we start letting you water from Mei Gishamim, you know what's going to happen? So the Mei Gishamim won't be there one time. You'll know that you can water, and you'll end up going over to the pail, and you'll lift it up and from the Mei Kilon. So it's a Gezera. So it's a Gezera de Rabbanon. We don't let you do that. Ravashi Amar, Ravashi says, now, you understand, like, we do not take Chol HaMoed seriously enough. This is a gzeira, shema you come to do something that has tircha yesera with a dover ha'avud. That's what we're saying now. We're saying you shouldn't do this, even though it's totally mutter, because you might come to confuse it with doing something else that is problematic because it's extra work, it's extra exertion. Chol HaMoed, we're supposed to be focused on on the yantif. Rav Ashi Amar, no, megeshamim gufayu lidei mekilon. He said asu. He says no. The reason why you can't take megeshamim is because you start taking it out from the surface of the pit, but over time the amount of rainwater will go down. And then the only way to reach the bottom rainwater is to actually put in the pail, and you'll end up actually being involved in Tircha Yisera and bringing it up. So we're worried. So the Gzera is, you're not allowed to do the beginning because you might come to do the end. One Gzera is, you're not allowed to do this at all because you might come to do something else. The other Gzera is, the other possibility is, you're not allowed to do what's reachable without Tircha because you might come to do something that's not reachable without Tircha.
In other words, if it doesn't rain on Chol HaMoed, they cannot go with a pail and dig the water from the pit.
Exactly. Right. So, yeah, exactly. In other words, but that makes it very simple. We're learning Gemara. So, become implicated, Rabbi Zeira, right? So, and these two opinions, they argue on Rabbi Zeira. The Rabbi Zeira says the following: Amar Rabba Bar Yirmiya, Amar Shmuel. We have a tradition in the name of Shmuel. Naharos Hamoshchin Mayim Mim Haagamim. If you have a stream that is pulling water from a pond, right? We have here on Brook Avenue. We have not on Brook Avenue. It's just called Brook Avenue. We have another street, which I don't know the name of, because I only know Brook Avenue and the pizza shop. So, Tennyson, Pendulum, whatever it is, right? It's where the big houses are, right? There's a pond. We all agree there's a pond. We don't agree what you should do in the pond, but we all agree there's a pond. Should you eat fish in the pond? Should you not eat fish in the pond? What's happening in that pond? We don't know, but Mayor Laura cleaned up the pond. So, there's a pond, and water goes from the pond all the way down... all the way down a brook, right? All the way down, and you see it. They're doing more construction over there and all sorts of streets, and you walk over the bridges. So, Maya Mina Agamim. So, Mutr Lahashkos Mehen Becholo Shomoi. So, says Shmuel, you are allowed to use that water where, so now the water collects in a new area. You're allowed to use that water to water on Cholomoi. Mar Isieli de Rabbi Zeira, Mar de Lesle de Rabbi Zeira. So one opinion would allow you to do this, and another opinion would not allow you to do this. The opinion that would say you are allowed to do this is the opinion that's worried that you might come to get the rest of the water with the actual tircha. We're not worried about that because we're pulling from somewhere else. You're not dealing with a deep pit. You're pulling it from somewhere else. And the one that says that, and we'll see qualifications about that soon, the one that says that you cannot do that is because he was the one that said you can't take from the rainwater with the pail because you might come to do it through a cistern. Right. So here you're taking from the brook that's coming from the agam. You might also use it from a cistern. So that gzera still sticks. So that's an example where the reasoning behind the gzera is incorporated in the nature of the gzera itself. And therefore, if you find yourself in a circumstance where the reasoning does not apply, the Gezerah itself doesn't apply. Rav Schechter writes about this extensively, which there are different types of Takanos Chachamim. Some Takanos Chachamim, the Gezerah was the motivator, and some Takanos Chachamim, the Gezerah was the reasoning was integrated into the nature of the Gezerah itself. So where the Gezerah was just the motivator, we're sort of making a siag. We don't want you to come to do something. So if you're in a circumstance where you won't come to do something, there's less of an issue. In a gzera where the reasoning becomes part and parcel of the gzera itself, it's not so simple that just because the reasoning changes, the other part changes. We'll have a shir on that one day. Gufa. Now we return to this din of Rabbi Zeira. Very interesting din. Amar Rabbi, if you're a farmer, Amar Rabbi Zeira, or you're learning Maikon, Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, Amar Shmuel, Naharos Amoshchin Mayin Mina Agamim, rivers that are pulling water from these ponds or swamps or whatever. Mutter lahashkos mehen b'chol shomoi. What?
What about a reservoir?
What about a reservoir? Reservoir just holds water, right?
Well, it's just
from rain. Reservoir, is that more like a cistern?
It's a man-created pond.
Man-created pond.
Similar to
what it's been
on a grandiose scale.
On a grandiose scale. But where does the water come from? Is the water is there a spring that's producing this water from the earth or from the mountains or from the, or it just sits there?
In some cases, it's rainwater.
It's rainwater that fills up the
watershed area.
Right.
You should be the expert on that.
Yeah, yeah.
But besides that, there are also springs and streams.
Springs and streams. Yeah.
From other tributaries.
Okay. We'll see. Let's see if we can figure it out.
And then from that, they charge us and use the water.
That's right. Some of us don't use that water. So, the Hashkos man, B'chol HaShomoein, Eisvei. So it's mutter. So, hey, so Rabbi Yirmiyah asked Rabbi Zeira, "Velo mi me geshamim, velo mi me kilon." How are you allowed to do this? We learned that you, in our Mishnah, you can't just take water from sources on Chol HaShamoed. So what's so on? So this stream is coming from some pond somewhere. How does that help anything, right? We don't do this.
Maybe
we release the Tircha Yisera. So Amar Lei Rabbi Yir, so Amar Lei, so he says to him, Yirmiyah Bari, Yirmiyah my son, Hani Agamim Debabel Kemaya Delopaski Damu. He says, and this is where, and this Lahalacha makes a difference, that the source of this water in Bavel, this halacha took place in Bavel, exactly. In Bavel, it's they don't have droughts. It's a rain rich area, like Vancouver, right?
Yeah.
right in Bavel, right? They have, it's a rain rich area, and so therefore there's constant rain. So there's no concern that you're going to go ahead and do anything to of Tircha Yisera. You're never going to reach that far. You're never going to need to get that far because the source of water is constantly flowing, right? Tanu Rabbanan, says the Rabbanan, Apsikos Vabrechos, the pools and the ditches, Shenismalu Mayim Erev Yantiv, that fill up with water on Erev Yantiv, Arso Lashkosos Mehen Bechol HaShamoed. You can't use them on Chol HaShamoed to water things. But if we have a spring of water, a channel that's been, created that passes between them, then it's mutter. So Amar Papa says, Rapapa, it's only mutter. If that channel of water has enough water to feed the entire field. In other words, you can take available rainwater that fell before Yantif and irrigate a field. When the field has access to another water source, that can definitely feed the field. Mm-hmm. Because then we're not worried that you'll come to go further down deep with Tircha Yisera, because you have access to the Amas HaMayim. However, Rav Ashi Amar, that's only if that Amas HaMayim has the capacity to feed most of the field, water most of the field. Rav Ashi Amar, Rav Ashi says, Apo Pisha Ein Ruba Sha'osa Sada Shosa, came into Kam Mishcha, the Asya, so he says, even if it doesn't have, the Amas HaMayim doesn't have enough water to feed the field, nevertheless, came to call Mishcha the Asya, since it's constantly flowing. So therefore, Meimar Omar, a person will say, Lo Shasi Lechad Yoma Tishti L'Trei V'Tzlasi Yome. You know that the source of water is going to be available. So I didn't have enough water day one, I'll get the rest of the water day two, day three. In other words, the water is standing and the water is available, right? You fill up a pail, you put your hose in, you fill up a pail before Yantif, and you want to use this pail to save crops that there'll be a Dovra Avud somehow during Chol HaMoed. So, are you worried? Well, the pail, you won't really reach Tircha Yisera. You have a pit in your house, right? And you're worried you're going to reach Tircha Yisera. But you have this hose, and the hose is on, and it's trickling water in, and you know that there's always a source of water. The word is always a guaranteed source of water. There's always a guaranteed source of water.
From California.
Then you don't have to worry. What?
Weren't you in California?
Yeah, we didn't.
They didn't always have sources of water.
We didn't. We used to have big droughts, and there were tremendous gazeros about not washing our cars and not watering our lawns and
taking showers
was part of the gazera. It was mamish. It was like Seches Tainis. Sometimes we would fast because we couldn't wash the cars. It was mamish. It was a gzera she'at zibur iyachol lamud bo. It was mamish. Not to wash the jag is like, it's hard to understand. It's hard to understand how that took priority over anything. Tana Rabbanan, Reichosh and Otefes, Mayim, Misode, Beis Ashlachin, Zu, Mutala Hashkos, Mimenas, De, Beis Ashlachin, Acheres. So again, you're a guy, you're a farmer. And you have multiple fields. So you have one Beis HaShlachin, you have another Beis HaShlachin, and the water's running off one, and you could direct it to irrigate another. So he says you're allowed to do that. The Ha Avida de Pascha. So Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah Vadayin Hi Mitatefes. So as long as it's going to continue to flow, as long as you're not worried that there'll be a continued source to that pool of water that you're using for the other field, you can water the other field from the runoff from the first field. Amar Abai, he says, Abai, Bushlo Pasuk Mayan Risho. That assumes that the original field that's flowing this water has a source that's also going to continue to flow. Exactly. Tanya, Rav Shimon ben Menasi Omer, Shtei Arugos, Zulamala Mizu. If you have two, like, shelves of a field, and they're both, one is on top of the other, Lo yidlo min atachtona v'yishkes el yona. You can't take water from the bottom one and irrigate it up to the first. Terchi yisera. Yosra okay. More than that, Amar Rabbi Elazar b'Shimon, afila aruga achas chatzi namuch v'chatzi gavoa. Lo yidlo min makom namuch v'yishkel l'makom gavoa. You can't even if you have, it's not two separate fields on two separate levels. It's sort of like half a field on one. It flows down into a half a field on another. But it's there's a hamshacha of like kind of one field. You still can't irrigate it up because somehow the way in which you do that, that'll require a terchi yisera. You're allowed to go ahead and water vegetables in order to be able to eat them. To be able to eat them when? To be able to eat them on yontif. Because that is considered letzorech yontif. Something that's letzorech yontif is motor. You ready? This is our next cholamoid halacha. Even by tircha yisera. Ah, right? Because it's letzorech yontif. It's letzorech yontif. That you're allowed to do tircha yisera, right? Try to tell your wives that nothing on Chol HaMoed can be done that's Tircha Yisera, right? They'll show you Tircha Yisera, right? You're talking about they're having 20 guests on the last days of Yom Tov. They're killing themselves. Tircha Yisera, right? What? Yom Tov is, right? Yom Tov can be. So he said, tell the rabbi he doesn't have to prepare on Chol HaMoed for the drushas right after Yom Tov. Tircha Yisera, right?
It's a Tzara HaMoed. You can put a roof on the house so you can be able to use it for a proper Suda.
You know what? I'm not going to say anything because I'm worried what you'll do with it. But if it is letzorech hamoed, there's more to talk about. There's absolutely more to talk about. That's a fair and reasonable point, and I know I'm going to get a lot of phone calls now on Sukkos. Okay. Kedei lo ochlan v'im bishvil leifayisun aser. But if it's just to make them nicer, right, they'll be edible. But you want to make them brighter, beautifuler, moister. I don't know what happens to vegetables when you water them more, but they're better, right?
If you don't water them, they shrink.
So they shrink, shrivel. So they shrivel, right. So you don't want them to... But obviously, they're still edible, so that would be awesome. Because that's not letzorech hamoed. That's letzorech your taste buds. That's not the same thing. Rabina v'rabba tosfa'a. So Rabina and Rabba tosfa'a. Azli be'urcha. They were walking in a city. Chazu, when they saw Lahu Gavra, they saw this guy. He was watering his vegetables on Chol HaMoed. So Amar le Rabba Tosfa le Ravina. Rabba Tosfa says to Ravina, hey, we have nothing to do today. Lesi mar le shamsei. Let's put him in Chayrim. Right? Right? What else do we have to do? Right? So it's Chol HaMoed. Everybody's out. Everybody's doing stuff. It's been a while since we did a nice Chayrim. Right? So Amar le, so he says to him, well, before we put him in Chayrim, right, well, Tanya, we learned in a brisa, madlin the yirakos kadei laochlan. You should know that this is taka mutter, right? So maybe we shouldn't put him in chayim. Maybe we should put you in chayim. I don't know what we should do, right? So Amar le, so he says to him, misavarta, or he says, when you learned that din that madlin the yirakos, that you're allowed to do things to encourage the growth of your yirakos, of your vegetables, misavarta, my madlin maya. You think that meant watering? You're not allowed to water. My madlin, what does that din mean when it says you're allowed to be madlin? It means shilufi. Rashi says, what's shilufi? Kesha yirakos ritzufin, noto me'en me'ben etayim, le'ochlon mutter le'yifosan aser b'shul le'yifosan osam sh'nisharim. What it means is, you have a lot of vegetables, they're growing in a very compact area, they're all making each other frustrated, so you want to pick out the different vegetables so that you could create a little more, pick out the weeds, pick out the branches, so you create a little more revach, a little more space. So you're allowed to do that le'ochlon, you're allowed to do that for the purpose of keeping them edible. You're not allowed to do that so that they grow nicer, right? So says the Gemara, but nothing about watering. Keditznan. How do I know that that's what madil means? Hamadil begifanim, if one is madil, one, and we're going to explain what that means. One is madil, they're gifanim. You have grapes that are growing very close together. Kashem shu medel bishalo, kachu medel bishalaniim. Just like you're allowed to remove some of these branches, some of these trees for yourself, so that the rest of it grows at a higher quality, you're allowed to do that bishalaniim, on the part of your field that belongs to the poor people. What part of the field is that?
Peah,
exactly. Right? The corner of the field you're going to leave over for the aniyim, you're allowed to make a decision, quality over quantity, right? And go ahead and walk into their area and remove these things so that they could enjoy a nicer. Diver Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, b'shelo, you're allowed to do it by you. You're not allowed to do it by the aniyim. Why? Because the assumption is that the aniyim, you know, they don't have as much high of an expectation for quality. They have a healthier relationship with food. They know that they need as much as they can get. So they don't want to walk in and see, you know, the Trader Joe's organic plastic wrapped golden pepper that mamish like an esrog. You can't find a single, you know, blemish on it that, you know, like literally totally pure and beautiful, radiant red pepper, and it's $4.95 and you bring it home and you put it in your salad and it ends up in the same, you know, amas amayim over here as anything else. They're not interested in that. They would rather take the $4.95 and buy 20 peppers, right? Not in seasons, but maybe in, you know, somewhere you could get 20 peppers for $4.95. And so it won't be the most beautiful pepper ever known to man, right? It'll have a shtickle, the white powder from the pesticide still on it, a shtickle, you know, it gives it a little kick. So Amar Lei, he says to him, Tanya, Madlin Mayim Liyarakos, but the Brisa says explicitly, Madlin Mayim Liyarakos, Kedela Ochlan. So Amar Lei, a very anticlimactic ending to this story. Ah, Itanya Tanya, I hear you. there's a Brisa, there's Taka a Brisa. Okay. These are the walks of the Amorim. This is what they're dealing with. They know Sinugos Lugafonim.
Greater than us from now,
they're
the same people.
No, these are later. These are much later, actually. Yes. The Enos, but they're much greater than us. Let's not. Okay. The Enos and Uguyos, Ligifanim. Okay, the other thing you're not allowed to do that we learned is you're not allowed to make Ugios by your vines. What are Ugios? My Ugios, Amar Rav Yehuda Binchri. They're like ditches to dig around them, which I guess is good for them. Ugios, so says the Gemara. Tanya Namiachi, we learned in a Braisa, Eloein Ugios, Bididin, Shebe Ikre, Zaysim, Vishi Ikre, Gifonim. What are Ugios? It's where you care for the plant near their roots, meaning around them. Ini, is that so? Vaharab Yehuda, Sharlev Nevar, Tzisoy, Lemevad, Binchi, Lecharmehon. He allowed people to do that. He was matir that. So how could you say that that's what the Mishnah is talking about when it says that it's usser? The Mishnah thought it's usser because even though it helps the food, it's a hefsin meruba, it's tircha yisera. So how did he be matir that? Lo kasha sanakasha, ha bechadi, ha batiki. One's talking about a new ditch. New ditch is taka tircha yisera because the earth has not been moved yet. Right? When I went to plant my vegetables, which are no longer growing, a month ago, we were digging new earth. We were digging it out. It was actually pretty hard, right? It was pretty hard to get it out of the earth. But then we filled it up with soil. And now if we were to go and now there's no more dirt there, for whatever reason, because I'm not a farmer. But now if we were to go and replant something there, it would be much easier. That wouldn't be Tircha Yisera, because we already dug out the hole. So Habatiki, one is talking about, so if you've already done it once and you're just digging it out again, so that's not Tircha Yisera, that you can do a Cholamay. But if you've not dug it out once, then that's already a Tircha Yisera. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Mary Elazar ben Azariah said, Ein Osen Nisa Amma. That's the other thing the Mishnah said. You're not allowed to go out and make a channel to divert water on Cholamay. That's the problem of Tircha Yisera. So Bishlama Moed. Now you remember the Mishnah said you're not allowed to do this on Chol HaMoed, and you're not allowed to do it on Shemitah. So the Gemara says, okay, I understand why you're not doing a Chol HaMoed. Mishum de Kotarach. It's Tercha Yisera. Ela Shvius, when it comes to Shemitah, my, what could possibly be the problem with this with Shemitah? The Isurim of Shemitah has nothing to do with Tercha Yisera, has to do with work in the land. It's an interesting discussion in the Mefarshim whether or not we relate to Shemitah with the same principles of Melechas Machsheves as we do to Shabbos, which relates to this Gemara, actually. Like, for example, let's say you do something on Shemitah, because we're about to get into this now. For example, on Shabbos, you're only chaya from Melacha you do on Shabbos that you do b'kavana. It's your intention to do that Melacha. Let's say you do the action, but that wasn't your intention. You dig a hole, but not for the hole. You dig it for the dirt. Right? That's Melacha Shein Tzricha L'Gufa. So that's still Usser, but it may not be in a Sedaraisa. Let's say you do a Dava Shein Miskaving. That's also Mutter, but not if it's a Psik Reisha. So do these principles of Melachas Machsheves apply to Shemitah as well? That's a whole discussion. So Taima Pligubar, Rabbi Zera V'Rabbi Abba Bar Mamol. So we have this Machlokes about Shemitah. So listen to this. Chad Omar, one of them says, we don't know which one said what, but we know that one of them said, Mipnei Shenire Ke'oder because it looks like you're hoeing, right? It looks like you're hoeing. Hoeing is where you dig out the dirt to make the hole. So since digging this area for the Amas Amayim actually looks like you're not preparing it for a channel to have water come, you're preparing it to plant things. So since that's what it looks like, and in fact, from an action perspective, that's exactly what it is, therefore, it's not permitted. The Chad Omar, and the other one says, you know why it's not permitted on Shemitah? And nothing to do with Tirchei Yisera. Nothing to do with Tirchei Yisera. You know why it's not permitted during Shemitah? Mipnei Shemachshir machshir agfei lizriya. Because when you do this, you loosen the dirt on the sides, and now the dirt on the sides is primed to be able to be used for planting. You could plant alongside that Amas Amayim, which makes sense to do, since there's water coming through, and this way it's an easy place to take the water to encourage the growth. So my Benayu, so the Gemara says, what's the difference between these two perspectives on the source of this Isser? Ika Benayu, this is the difference. The Ka'asu Maya Basre, where as you hoe, you actually pull the water forward. I don't know if any of you ever went to a beach. When I was growing up, we lived near an ocean that was nice. So we would go to the beach and you'd build sandcastles, right? And one of the things you would always do is you'd make these charitzim. You would take the shovels and you would pull, you know, you would make a moat. You'd build a sandcastle. Then you make a moat. This is all on a separate beach. You build a sandcastle and you make a moat around the sandcastle and you need to fill the moat with water. So you make a thing that fills the moat with a channel that fills the moat with water. As you move the thing, water fills the channel. So if water is filling the channel, mandam ribnation machshir angfe lazare ika. So if what you're worried about is you're being machshir the sides to be able to use them for planting, that's still a concern. It should be usur. Because after all, you're still making the groove, you're still making the hole, and you're still listening to dirt. So who cares that water is coming through? If anything, it's helpful for the zriya. But anybody who thinks that this looks like someone hoeing would know that that's ridiculous, because you can't possibly hoe like this since you're filling up what it is that you're, the actual space that you're pulling the water is, it's full of water. You can't plant there. So leka. So that's a nafkamina between these two opinions. So then the Gemara analyzes these two opinions and says, hold on, why are these really mutually exclusive? These are both independently very legitimate concerns. It's a legitimate concern that it looks like you're preparing the area for, you know, sometimes we have machlokas and we understand that there are two alternative perspectives and they are exclusive to each other. One's looking at it from this angle, one's looking at it from that angle. These seem to be two alternative reasons for concern. And there's nothing about one of them that is mutually exclusive to the other. You could be worried that it looks like you're hoeing and be worried that it looks like you're planting. The two have nothing to do with each other. So the Gemara says, and since you set up this as the nafkamina, you're kind of assuming that each one doesn't hold of the other one, that this is an actual machlokas. Because the way you set up the nafkamina is I'll construct a scenario like the Gemara likes to do, where according to one it's one thing, and according to one it's another thing. Well, that presumes that they're not just giving different alternatives, that presumes that they're giving different perspectives. They might not be giving different perspectives. Maybe they're just giving different alternatives. Then your nafkamina is wrong. Because even according to the one that says it because it looks like hoeing, he still agrees that there's a problem if it looks like planting. So when the water comes through, it's still a problem. So that's not a good nafkamina. So the Gemara says, Ulaman do amr ibn shenirika oder lechosh mipnei shemachshir anfei lizriya. Agfei lizriya. And according to the one that says because it looks like hoeing, maybe he also worries about agfei lizriya. Ela ika b'nayil. So I'll give you a better differential. They call shakel minei v'shadi livroi. So let's construct a new case. You take out the earth and you throw it far away. So lemanda amrim neishem akshir agfei lizriya leka. In that case, if you're worried about it looking like zriya, right? Or if you're also worried about it looking like zriya, then there's no issue there because the dirt's not remaining on the side. There's nothing to plant with. Ulamad Amr Ibn Shinirika Oder Ika. But if you're worried about looking like hoeing, it still looks like hoeing. Ulamad Amr Ibn Shamakshir Akfil Izriya Lechash Ibn Shinirika Oder. So maybe according to the Manda Amr that says we're worried about the planting, he also says we're worried about it looking like hoeing. Oder Nami Kikoshoko Biduchte Monochle. So he says, no, even with the hoeing, when a person hoes, you don't actually like take the dirt and move it like far away. Hoeing, you put the hoe in. I've never actually seen a hoe, but right, I imagine in my imagination in a hoe, you put the hoe in and you remove the dirt and you just put it near the hole and you prepare the hole. So what happens? So according to that, then even if you hold that the problem is the hoeing, right, this doesn't look like hoeing. So this is a good nafkamina. Because here, it doesn't look like hoeing, and it doesn't help you with Zriya, because it's not over there. So this would be a scenario where it would be mutter on Shemitah. Yeah. It would be mutter on by Shemitah, because we're not worried about Tircha Yisera. It doesn't look like you're hoeing. It doesn't look like you're planting. And there's nothing to worry about.
So what is he doing?
So says
just for the fun of it.
Why is he doing it? I don't know. This again, you know, he's doing it so we can learn Gemara. So says the Gemara. Right? That's how we used to slow down our sixth grade Rebbe, right? In Perakamavki. Why is the Shomer watching the, right? You know, all day we used to cover him. Why is the guy going into the Agam? And why is the guy taking the thing? Why is the thief going into, right? This is the, I mean, that was how you got to recess. So, we're a daf haShavua. We have a whole block to finish every week. So, we can't handle that. So, says the Gemara. So, alright. So, Amemar learned that we're worried about the hoeing. That's the reason why it's Asar on Shemitah. The Kashle de Rabbi Elazar Azariah, de Rabbi Elazar Azariah. He says, I don't really like that, since the author of this concern in our Mishnah is Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. And there's another source of Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah that seems to indicate he is not worried about digging things out and what that looks like during Shemitah. Why? Could this possibly be Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah? Kol shenira ka'oder aser, that anything that looks like oder, looks like hoeing, is aser? For a minute, I'll ask you a contradiction. Osa adam is zavlo otzer. So let's say a person is accumulating manure, right? Accumulating manure. So they're accumulating manure and they need to store it in their field, and it's Shemitah. So what's the problem? You're kind of helping the field as you do this, right? Even as you just put it down, it helps the field. So the Gemara says you're allowed to store it as an otzer. Rameir Oser, Rameir says you're not allowed to do it ad sheyamik shlosh tfachim. Unless you dig down a few tfachim, and Rashi says umachnis azevel l'sham, and you put the zevel there, the muchamilsa de lo avid kedei lezavel sadeu b'shvius, because then it's clear that it's not your intent to fertilize your land on Shemitah, right? Because you dug a hole, you're storing it. You're clearly not trying to work the land. Oh, ad she'agbia gimel tfachim, or you elevate it by three tfachim, right? You make a kavadika place for the fertilizer.
Is there a difference between actually the plant the on Shemitah where you're not allowed to plant,
mm-hmm.
but aren't you allowed to keep your land healthy, like if it's good for the land during the year of Shemitah?
Yeah, but you're not allowed to cultivate it. You're not allowed to do things that make it grow better and make it. You're allowed to do things, and we'll get to this. You're allowed to do things to save it, to make sure that it doesn't get destroyed.
Because I think that's what this is talking about with the hoeing that it was doing. It's not doing it for planting purposes or anything like that, but it's to not allow it to be destroyed.
To dig the dirt so it doesn't get destroyed.
Irrigate so it doesn't dry out.
Okay. So, but that's still a concern for Shemitah, because that's part of the working the land process. Correct. So, says the Gemara, so gimel tvachim hayolo davar muat mosif alav, and then you can add to it, v'holich. Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says that's forbidden. Ad sheyamuk shlosha, ad sheyagbia shlosha, or ad sheyiten al hasela. It's forbidden unless you mamish dig, or put it on top of, or put it on a rock. So Rabbi Zeir, Rabbi Aru, Mamo, chad om, so that's akasha, right? That's akasha because suddenly he permits you to start digging things. And according to him, you're not allowed to start digging things. So Rabbi Zeir, Rabbi Aru, Mamo, they solve this. Chad omar kagon shehemik, v'chad omar zivlo muchak olav. One says, no, this is a different case, because since you're mamik the zevel, so therefore, says Rashi, therefore it is absolutely clear that it's not being done, kigon she'imik kodim lochein, it was dug beforehand. And since it was dug beforehand, Rashi says, "Kol machen kilomar had amar Rabbi Elazar ad shiyamik lomar ad shiyam bishvius elishaya amar kodim shvius." It's not talking about where it was dug on Shemitah. That case is talking about where it was dug before Shemitah. Since it was dug before Shemitah, you're allowed to fill it with fertilizer, right? So, and that could be the same Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah who says that you can't dig things because it looks like hoeing. Sabla muchach alav kilomar avagav demamik bishvius. The other opinion is, even though you are digging it during Shemitah, here, because you're filling the hole with fertilizer, it is obvious that you're not doing it for the purpose of hoeing. So since you're not doing it for the purpose of hoeing, Shlomi added, for the purpose of loosening the land, saving the land, nurturing the land, since you're not doing it for that purpose, because you don't do that and fill it stam with fertilizer. So therefore, in that case, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah would say it's mutter. Masha Enkein, in a normal case of Shvius, he would not allow you to do such a thing. Ma mikukeles. So the Gemara, the Mishnah also said, maktinanes mikukeles b'moi, that you're allowed to fix things that are broken down on the moi. Ma mikukeles. What does it mean that it's mikukel? So Amar Rabbi Abba, says Rabbi Abba, shim oisa amuka tefach. You have a pit that's holding water. And it's ma'amida al shisha tfachim. It's a 6 tfachim pit, and you have to basically clear out 5 tfachim of it, which means the water is reaching 1 tefach deep, and you need to fix, you need to clear out whatever is left in that. Whatever's left in that. So the Gemara says, tefachim pshita, so al shisha tfachim. Okay. Pshita says the Gemara, it's pashit chatzi tefach al shlosha tefachim, that if you have a pit that's 3 tefachim and you're going to just, and it's only a half a tefach open and you want to clear out the rest, kevin de lo avar maya lo klum, who? That since there'll be no, that since, says Rashi, hold on, that since it can't be functional to hold a substantial amount of water, so therefore, it's irrelevant. Tavchayim al shnei masar, if to clear out 2 tefachim on a 12 tefach, if there are 2 tefachim clear and you need to clear out the rest of a 12 tefach pit, that's 10 tefachim. Dekatarach tircha yaseira. So that clearly low, that you clearly can't do because that's tircha yaseira. What about tefchayim al shiva? What if you have access to 2 of 7? So you have to clear out 5. Mahu, what's the din? So, because our original text talked about 1 versus 6. Now we have 2 versus 7. So do we say, Acha, the reason why that was okay is because Chamisha Kamamik, the Hacha Chamisha Kamamik, do we say because there you cleared out 5, and here you're clearing out 5, so therefore that's okay. Odilma came into Ika Tepach Yisera. Or maybe since here, Lemaisa, you're going to eat 7 Tfachim, so you're adding, It's 1 tefach deeper in its total. Who cares that you started? Were you doing the same amount? But the tircha relates more to the outcome. Icha tircha tvei, sateku, they didn't know the din. Abaye shara livnei bar. Abaye would allow the people of his city, hamadik l'shchufi nara, to clear out the branches from the river so it could flow better. Rav Yirmiya shara livnei sakusa, lemichra nara, temima, to be able, also Rashi says, lifnos mekora mayan shenistam, to clear out the shmutz that was covering the access to the water. Rav Asher Sharlev Neimasa, Machasya Akduche Nar Burnitz, they would clear out this river of Burnitz. So Amar Kevin de Shasumine Rabim, why? Why did he allow him to do that? He allowed him to do that because since lifnos shiyitram be'emtza nar, the things that were blocking the river from being able to flow, Because since that river provided water to many, many people, kirabim dami, it was like you're doing something for the tzarchei rabim. And we learned, osin kol tzarchei rabim. We're allowed to do anything, even tzarchei yisera, if there is a purpose to sustain large groups of people. Okay. Sure. Thank you.